You're holding on Tetesim and Beis right after the Mishnah. So the Mishnah had a case over here. The person has two Gittin, two Ksuvis. He's going on the case of two Ksuvis and one Get. And it sounds like Iboy Bahai Gavyo. Are you saying that if you can use either one of the ksuvas? Lema tahavi tiyuv to the Rav Nachman and Rishmul. There should be a kash on Rav Nachman and Rishmul. The Rav Nachman and Rishmul. Shtei shoras hayotzim bezeh hazeh. Mitu sheni as a rishon. When you have two shoras coming on the same chiyuv, all we understand is what's happening is that the second one was written to override the first one, and all the chiyuvim are based on the second shtar, which means that any rights that he has to, let's say, mishubadim, will be from the date of the second shtar rather than the date of the first shtar. So, and here we're saying that it sounds like that there's validity to the first ksuba as well. Why don't we say the second ksuba overrode the first ksuba, and there's a mechila for any chiyuvim from the first ksuba, and the second ksuba is supposed to be the only valid document. The Mora says no. Lav Itmerla, didn't we learn in regards to Rav Nachman's statement that Omer Rapapa, Rapapa said that Umoida Rav Nachman is Moida, the Oisif Bey Dikla, the Tosefis Kasve, Hachinami, Bid Oisif Law. So if the two stars are totally the same, there's nothing at all added in the second document. We said the whole purpose of the second document is to override the first one and create a mechila from the date of the first one and create all chiyuvim from the date of the second one. But if the second document added on any level of responsibility, even to the point of one shri, one dekel, so it doesn't mean to be mechel the first star. It means to leave the first star in place with all the shibudim of the date of the first star, and to expand the rights that the person has the right to collect on to something new from the date of the second star. A star is mechayiv a payment from a person in two ways. Any property which the person will have at the time of the chayiv is due, the shtar will be mechayiv. And any property which was sold, which was owned at the time of the shtar. But the shtar is not mechayiv. Reuben lent Shimon $1,000, so Reuben now has a personal, Shimon has a personal chayiv to pay back $1,000, which he will have a chayiv to use all of his property to pay that back. And then Reuben also gets a right in Shimon's property of $1,000 rights on Shimon's property, which is dependent upon the Shimon's property at the time of the loan, the time of the shtar. But if Shimon acquires property later on, Reuben has no shibud on Shimon's property. So Shimon acquires property after the loan, and then Shimon then sells that property after the loan. Reuben has no rights to it. Any property that Shimon has at the time of the loan, Shimon sells it, Reuben has a right to it.
But after the loan, if he acquires it after the loan, it's not relevant, really.
Well, it's relevant. Reuben has a right to collect from Shimon personally. If the time of the loan is due, Shimon has that property, Reuben can collect from it. But if Shimon sold it, acquired it, and then sold it, so Shimon said, I don't have it. You're not collecting from me personally. I don't have it. You're collecting, well, I'll give a right to my properties because you got a lien on my property. You got a lien on my property. The lien was on the time of when the shtar was written. So this property didn't exist at the time when the shtar was written. So you write the second shtar because Shimon now acquired new property after the time of the first shtar. Shimon acquired new property. Shimon writes a shtar adding on a new shibud, a new lien on the new property. So now if Shimon would sell that property, Reuben has the right to collect from it. So the second shtar added something new that the first shtar didn't have. So even if it's one tree, you know, I mean the piece attached to the ground, so that's karka. So that would be sufficient to say that the second shtar is not coming to usurp and supersede the first shtar, it's only coming to add to the first shtar. So the case here would be that the second ksuba had in some way added something new. Well, again, this in the case where there's
both acquisition and disposal in between.
So again, the second one doesn't supersede the shibud of the first one. The first one is still there. So anything which is there at the time of the first loan is still valid.
Okay, so it only comes to add.
Only comes to add, right? Kisi Rashi. Rashi and the Gemara. Are you saying that you can collect with either one of them? Mashek ksubas the get koi. It's going to the case of two, the get with two ksubas. Tiktani ein lo el ksuba achas. It says she only has one. She only has the right to collect one, which means we give her the choice. Look, Tani ein lo el ksuba achrono. We don't say she only has that. It's not a choice. She must use the second one. Alma inichal lo the mitra of lekuchas means man rishon. Tarfa. If she wants to use the first ksuba, she may. Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, two shtaros b'zecher says, "Mano shel zeh kadem l'zeh." Shema al havo achas or al mecher echad. They're both in the same transaction, but two different dates. Bidul sheni is a rishon. Ben tarfa elam is man sheni. The second shtar, the later shtar, supersedes the first one. And all rights only proceed from the time of the date of the second document. The kim and the kotzer of the shtar of basra. Once you write the second shtar, what you're doing is achle le shibud kama. It's acting as a mechila on the original lien, on the original shibud, and making a new shibud from the later dates. So the more says, but if he's moided the oisa beitikla b'shtar sheni, if he adds even one tree. In the second shtar, the Tosefos Kasvei, it's written to be an addition, not to be to supersede. The shibud, it's not. We don't see it as the point over here is a mechila, the vatal zman shtar rishon to be mevatal the first shtar. Now, Ashi points out that tomorrow mil loygavya. It's not that he collects twice. If the person would have written in the shtar that I have agreed, tzivisi means I'm agreeable, I'm adding on this shtar onto the first shtar. If they're written like that language, then we say that he's adding on a new shibud, a second shibud on top of the first one. No. He's writing a second shtar. Didn't mention the first one. That wasn't necessarily that he mentioned the first one in the second one. So hakamar im tisratzi limchol shibud shel rishana. Gavi ksubazu hamaruba. You have a choice. You can either use the first shtar with the smaller amount of money, but the earlier dates. So you'll have a benefit to collect from any property which was sold during that time. Vimlav, if you want to be meichel the shibud from the first date, you can get the larger ksuva. Vimlav, and if you don't want that, gavi harishon hamuetet, you can collect the first one, which is a smaller amount, but gives you the advantage of any property which is sold between the date of the first one to the second one, you'll be able to collect from the lekugos. El haiminayo, the buy gavya, whichever one she wants, she can collect with. V'achim parshinan b'pirkan kamoy. This is how we explained before. Chikomer, I don't remember b'pirkan kamoy. The earlier parakim doesn't mean the first parak. V'chiyomer Reb Nachman bitul sheni as a rishon b'loy oisav be'midi. There, Reb Nachman's point is that the second one supersedes the first one. Is when there's nothing new. The lav levatuli kama also lemaikase, because then we say obviously that the purpose of the shtar was only one thing, was to override and supersede the first one. So it comes at the point Rashi is saying over here is that you don't collect both shtaris, you collect either or. And that's the point of our Mishnah, that you collect, she collects one of the two ksubas, not the end of el ksuba acha, she only collects one ksuba, you don't collect the aggregate of the two. But the point of the second one is not to be mevata the first shibud, is to create an alternative shibud. Okay. For a larger amount of money. Terabonon. So the Gemara. Haitia gets uksuva umisa. She brings out a get with the ksuva, and she also brings out a misa. And she's arguing that that he had divorced her and then remarried her. And now there's any misa, so he has a chiv ksuva. So it depends. He can get kind of a ksuva. So we look at the date of the ksuva. So we say, well, here's the date of the get. The ksuva is written afterwards. Obviously, it must be he remarried her. So then she will collect one exclusive ksuva based on the fact that she has a get. She'll collect the minimal amount because we have no information about any type of ksuva more than that. And then with the eni misa, she collects a second time. Garbage takes ksuvas. Ksuva kedemes leget, but if the ksuva, which you're looking at, was before the get, so we don't see that he wrote a nuchi of ksuva afterwards. So even if we have Aiden that she remarried, and a gaba al ksuva achas, Shemigara says yishtar bechzira, but not ksuva rishana hechzira. So we have the idea before that if a person divorces her, then remarries her, if he did not write a new ksuva, we assume he's just be mechayiv himself the original ksuva, which the chiyuv which was there. So he doesn't mean to be mechayiv himself a second time. Okay. So even though there are eidim that she remarried, it doesn't mean there's a nuchi of ksuba.
After the get, how long does he have to give over the ksuba? Is there a short time here? I'm just figuring.
Until she asks for it, he has nuchi of the give it.
Okay.
Right, so we don't know the story. She asked for it or not. What she asked for, so he has a chiyuv to pay immediately. If it's property, it has to be sold to pay for it. So there's a process to allow him to give him time to sell the property without taking a loss. See if he can get a better price for it.
Here they got back together, they got remarried.
We don't know whether she asked for the ksuba.
We don't know whether she asked for it.
Umisa. The eidim misa, that means misa means she has eidim that there is misa. Balig was shtei ksuvas, achas b'taris gerush and achas b'taris almonas. So she's trying to collect it twice, once because she was divorced, and once because she remarried, and her husband died, and now as an almona she's owed the money. You get kind of ksuva. Reikazel lo ksuva sheniz keshechzira means he wrote her a new ksuva when he remarried her. So he's been mechayiv himself a second ksuva. Okay. So the Mishnah. Katan shehisioi aviv. Ksuvasa kayemis. Shamanas kein kaimu. So we have a situation where a katan, the father made the arrangements for the marriage. And he married her as a katan, and then he became a gadol, which now we have to say that at the time it became a gadol, he redid the marriage, as it were, because it's not really a marriage. as a katan. But he didn't write a nuksuba. So he, by living together, we continue. We argue that his intent is the same kedushin, and the aidus for the kedushin is the people seeing them living together. So he's as it were now marrying her, but the ksuba was written. He didn't write a new ksuba. So the ksuba remains valid because when he kept her, which means when he change this into a valid marriage by living with her, the intent was to rely on the original ksuba. Similarly, gershin iskaira ishta imay. So a man and a woman became gerim. A husband and wife became gerim, and he had written some type of financial responsibility to his wife beforehand. Ksuvasa kayema shamanas kein kaima. So then they continued to be together as a husband and a wife after the gerus. He wasn't mechayim himself a nuchiyiv financially. He meant to be mechayim himself based on the original financial responsibilities that he made to her before they became gerim. So any financial responsibilities which he's written are valid. So Mor says, Omer Rav Huna, no, doesn't make any sense. A shtar written by a katan is not a shtar. So therefore, there's no ksuba here. So El Lashon El Mona Messiah, what we're talking about, Mekayim over here, is that the basic key of ksuba of Mona Messiah, depending on whether she's a psula or a bula, which that's a key of Tanai Bezdin, so whether he has intent for it or not, it's irrelevant.
So why do we use that same, why don't we say the same thing a sentence later when we're talking about
so Pasha Rav Huna is going on the case of the Goy also, but that's not clear. But the case of the Cotton, we're sure that's true. He has it's no validity. There can be a contract between the two non-Jews. But the service ain't law. There's no, but anything which more, which a document was mechayev, the document is not valid. No, the extra amount of the document is also valid. Okay.
The criteria by the ger also. I mean he made a commitment to this to his wife before he was Jewish. He doesn't have the same criteria as we do for Kasuv. I mean, so why do we allow his whatever he's, let's say he designated something too small or something, whatever.
No, too small is not our problem. The problem is the question is if it's more. It's too small, we say.
The wrong amount, let's say.
Okay, if the amount is small, that's not a problem. But the Bezdin's Mechayim more. That's not our issue. The issue is he's Mechayim himself more than the amount that Chazar Mechayim. Does the responsibility which he made in the state of being not being Jewish carry over to now? So Rav Huna seems to say no, it doesn't. Rav Huna says it does. Meisvei, Raisa, Chitroy. If he added in now, in the case where the cotton becomes a gadol, and he added on a new amount, he's mechad or something. Okay. The telos mashik chidshoy. So then they get the extra amount. The verse says chidshoy in loy chidshoy loy. It sounds like that. Only do you get more than the basic key of ksuva if now as a gadol or now as a Jew they added extra money, but otherwise you just get the minimal amount. So it's like Rav Huna versus no ema af mashachid shay. It means besides any amount that the person added on in the earlier state, any new amounts that are added now are also chai. Where it says Tani Haki. We have the Brisa says not like that. It says Chidshay to tell us Masha Chidshay Loi Chidshay Sula Gaiva Masayim Vamona Mona. So if he didn't add anything now, then you go back to the Beis Achiyah. So we see that any amount which he added in the earlier state is not compelling. He doesn't have to do that. It's only whatever he added now. If he didn't add anything now, you go back to the Beis Achiyah, which is Tanai Bezdin. Yupta to Rabbi Yehuda. So the chara of this price is a stira out of Yehuda. So Mor says Rabbi Yehuda mastisin ate isay. That the reason why he said it because he seemed to feel that the Mishnah indicates like that. And the Mor said with the price is overriding and saying that that's not correct understanding. What was the mistake that he saw from the Mishnah? So Ksuvasa Kayamis, the language of the Ksuvasa Kayamis is akula milsekoi. It's not going on the full amount. It's just going on the content of the Tachiyah of Ksuba, right? Which, to tell you the truth, I don't understand. So, let's see Rashi. Alamana Messiah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not Kayemes. We don't, if you, all you're talking is the Ikur, then, you know, what's Pshad in Kayemes? It's time based.
Well, okay, so he added on to it.
No, we're saying even if he did not onto it, the Mishnah is just saying he did not onto it, so what's Chayiv is the basic Suba. The Shalom, of course, that's Chayiv, nothing to do with it. See Rashi. Elamon and Messiah, Shehein Tanai Bezin, Dilu Bishtar Legavia, Tachas Mavamahu. He can't be Chayiv based on the Shtar because the Shtar was written by somebody who doesn't have the authority to write a Shtar. Cut and write a Shtar, it's not a Shtar. Caspa is earthenware. It's a it's a shard of pottery. Chidshay cotton ship misha higdol v'gemish in iskai. In both scenarios, im hisifu klum al ksuba rishon. If they added something more, they get masha chidshay. Because the v'daitim masha chidshay al monam b'saim. Any amount more than monam b'saim is only valid if they added it now. So Yehuda said, "Af Masha Chidshay, Al Tosef is a Rishon." No, they get the Mon of Messiah, whatever amount they wrote in the first Shtar, and then plus whatever they add now. So Mor says, "If Yehuda said a Kula the Milsay, I'll call some B'Shtar Ksuba. It's talking about the full amount." Okay. So Mishnah says no, it's only one of Messiah. So Tosfos asks the Arkasha. He says, so what's it do with the Mishnah then? The one of Messiah, remember Rabuna, they're gonna be there anyway, the with the Chiyuv. So Tosfos says, maybe you'll tell me that the Chiddush over here is when you collect the Chiyuv based on the date of the Shtar. That's not true. Maybe you collect the Chiyuv from the date of the continuing to be together, whether that which would have a lack of coal. Maybe that's the Chiyuv. So he says, no, the Chiddush over here is, see, he married her as a psula. And now she becomes, now he stays with her as, when she becomes a Gedolah. When he's staying with her as a Gedolah, she's a Bula. She's not a psula anymore. So if you're just being mechayiv of him based on the idea of this common law marriage, has the halachic status of a marriage, because the Gemara says we believe that people who live together do it with intent for marriage, and therefore the people who see the living together act as edus. The common law marriage is as a bula. The only mechayiv of ksuba 100. But that much we're going to say, the fact that he came together with her when she was a psula, and he's continuing that marriage, the amount of the Chiyuv, the Tanai Bezdin, will be Mekayiv, the amount of the Chiyuv of 200, not 100. So we say that he's staying with her at this point in time with the intent that the Chayiv should be the Chayiv if they've been married from the earlier dates. So that's above and beyond just what the Tanai Bezin would be Mechayev, Tosin says.
What about a Ger?
The same thing in the case of the Ger.
Well, the Ger, doesn't the Gyaris have like a Chazaka that she's a
Ba'ula? Right, but saying so her status would be that of a Ba'ula, but if he's staying with her and he married her. With understanding that, as far as he's concerned, that she's a psula, he can make himself the chiyuv of a psula. Right? You know, whatever amount he meant to marry her as.
So assuming that he was machayev himself a psula, like she was.
He machayev himself now with the das living together as if they had been psula at the time of the regime, assuming that's what he wants, that's what his. He has a document that is argument, right? His document, whatever status it has, was as if that this was that she was a psula. So that would be machayev of that amount now.
And if there was no shtar, then it's not based on his almond.
It would be 100.
100.
Yeah. What? Okay, let's just start the Mishnah.
There was no.
Okay, how do you look at Kirsa Mishnah? So the Mishnah, how do you know so ishtay noshim? Umeis or Rishon? Umeis. So a person has two wives. And then he dies. Harishon kadem is l'shniya. So the rights of the first woman, Rikleta Mitzuba, she has the earlier date, so she has the first rights to collect from the property. And the ksuba of the second one is only after the first one has collected her ksuba. Whatever property is left, the second one is able to collect from. Okay. Let's say that the two women are not alive. Similarly, now the case will be if the women died after the man died. So the time of the death, both women got a chiyuv ksuba on the husband because. The husband died, they're almanus, and he also owes ksuba. If they died first, to the time of the death, he doesn't owe ksuba. So that's we'll get to the next case. But right now, the case over here was that the husband died, and then after the husband died, both women died. So the same way, the first woman has a right, the first wife has a right before the second wife. So Yerusha Rishon and Kanev was Kamel Yerusha Shniya. Let's see, also is a Rishon Umesa. He married a woman and she died. He had children and then she died. Nosashniya, he marries a second woman, Umesu, and then he dies. So now she's coming to collect based on the rights of collecting the chayv of Ksuba. The first wife predeceased the husband, so there's no chayv, the husband doesn't know her Ksuba. The children of that woman have a right to collect as Yarshim. Well, every time you have a Baal Chayv, the Baal Chayv collects from the Yarshim. So they said, well, we have rights as Yarshim. Well, your right is to pay off your father's Chayv. That's your right. Yeah, but so there's a concept called Ksumas Bin Indikrin. So that's what the parents have to deal with, the concept of Ksumas Bin Indikrin. When does it kick into place? Ksumas Bin Indikrin is that, and just to refresh our memory, so in a case where a man marries two wives, he wrote a different amount of ksuma for one of the wives, let's say a larger amount for one of the wives, and both women die before the husband. The husband dies, so now there are yarshim of each wife coming to collect, get the yerusha. So part of the Tanai ksuma was that the amount he was mechayev himself to the ksuva, the wife X is Yarshim, have a right to take that money, the full amount of the ksuva, and then the remaining amount will be, you know, each wife, each Yarshim of each wife will collect their mother's ksuba, and the remaining amount they will divide equally. But that's a din of Yerusha. It's a chiyuv bezdin, but it works in the context of Yerusha. It means, as if, let's say, we had written up a savor that the division of the properties should be that Reuven should get, let's say, right? Reuven marries Leah and he has he has a son from Leah, and then he marries Rachel and he has a son from Rachel. He has two sons. That's it. That makes his life easier. So Leah's ksuba was, he wrote a ksuba which he became himself, Tosefis of 1,000, and Rachel's ksuba he was became himself, Tosefis of 500. So now he dies and he has property, so you have the Ikra Ksuba, you know, and we have Tosefis is a total of 1,000, hers is a total of 500, and his property is 2,000. So he takes 1,000, one son takes 1,000, one son takes 500, the remaining 500 they divide equally. But that's a din of Yerusha. Therefore, the Mor is going to tell me that, let's say, he leaves over only exactly 1,500, there's no din of Ksuba being different. Because then you're being mevatel the din ksuba, the din Yerusha the rice. So Chazal did not write their arrangement to let it collect. So that situation, he gets 750. He gets 750. So they left it within the context of Yerusha. It's you're collecting a chayv, but it's only within the rights of Yerusha. So if you have a bona fide chayv. Over here, the second woman is coming to collect. She's collecting as a chayv. So chayv collects from the assignment. So she'll collect her full amount, even if whether her mouth is large or smaller, it's irrelevant. She'll collect her full amount first. And then, what's ever left over, we'll figure out what happens with whatever left over. Does it mean that now the ksuba has been different for the first one, that's a machlokes of the Gemara, or nothing? Then they divide. The Yarshim will get whatever left over. But the Yarshim, the fact that she's alive and she's got the ksuba doesn't preclude the fact that she has sons of a right to Yerusha. So she'll collect her ksuba, and then the children of the first wife and her children will collect the Yerusha, divide the Yerusha. So that's Pasha the Pshat the Mishnah.